Jesus, Heiland meiner Seele, lass an deine Brust mich fliehen, da die Wasser näher rauschen und die Wetter heller sehen. O, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesus, dir ergebe ich mich, selig droben dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich. Berg mich in den Lebensstürmen, bis vollendet ist mein Lauf, führe mich zum sicheren Hafen, nimm dann meine Seele auf. O, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesus, dir ergeb ich mich, selig droben dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich. Andere Zuflucht hab ich keine, sagen hab ich nur auf dich. Lass, oh, lass mich nicht alleine, hebe her und stärke mich. Oh, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesus, dir ergeb ich mich, selig droben dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich. Nur zu dir steht mein Vertrauen, dass kein Nebel mich erschreckt. Mit den Schatten deiner Fliege sei mein wehrlos Hauptbedeck. O, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesus, dir ergeb ich mich, selig droben dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich. Gnade um Gnade, volle Sehnung, sind in dir, o Jesus mein. Lass die Heilung mich bestreben, nimm gereinigt mich herein. O, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesus, dir ergeb ich mich, selig droben dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich. Du bist ja des Lebens Quelle, die den Durst auf ewig still. Sei der Born in meinen Herzen, der zum ewigen Leben quillt. O, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesus, dir ergeb ich mich, selig droben dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich. Upon a mountain they followed the Lord for days, weak from the hunger, he would not send them away. A little boy had some fishes and a few loaves of bread. But how could so many with just a little be fed? He held it toward heaven with hands that had not yet been there. He watched them with wonder, but surely this time he would fail. But as he reached it to them, they could see down deep in his eyes. You can always trust Jesus, for he has an endless supply. He just keeps giving and giving till their hunger was satisfied. He started with so little, But oh, how the Lord multiplied. And when he was finished, the want was removed from their eyes. They could always trust Jesus, for he had an endless supply. I feel him so often, sometimes I grow faint in my heart. He's been so faithful, he always does more than his part. He never leaves me, though I'm often strayed from his side. I'll always trust Jesus, for he has an endless supply. He just keeps giving and giving till my hunger is satisfied. He started with so little, but oh, how the Lord multiplies. And when he is finished, the want is removed from my eyes. I'll always trust Jesus, for he has an endless supply. I feel him so often, sometimes I grow faint in my heart. He's been so faithful, he always does more than his part. He never leaves me, though I'm often strayed from his side. I'll always trust Jesus, for he has an endless supply. And he just keeps giving and giving till my hunger is satisfied. He started with so little, but oh, how the Lord multiplies. And when he is finished, the want is removed from my eyes. I'll always trust Jesus, for he has an endless supply. I've been up on the mountain with the Jesus. I've been down in the valley so low. And if ever time he deserts me, where with my troubles I go. So please let me walk with you, Jesus. Don't ever leave me alone. For without you, Lord, I could never, don't ever make heaven my home. You found me when no one could help me. You found me when I was so low. You found me when no one could see me, and I did not know what to do. So please let me walk with you, Jesus. Don't ever leave me alone. For without you, Lord, I could never, no, never make heaven my home. If I had all the wealth of this old world, if I had all that money could buy, if I had not the love of my Savior, I would rather be dead than alive. So please let me walk with you, Jesus. Don't ever leave me alone. For without you, Lord, I could never, no, never make heaven my home. You found me when no one could help me. You found me when I was so low. You found me when no one could save me, and I did not know what to do. So please let me walk with you, Jesus. Don't ever leave me alone. For without you, Lord, I could never, no, never make heaven my home. It's all about Jesus, and we're not just saying it. He's the only one that we owe homage to. Mm-hmm. That Hutterite system tried to mold you in his mold, and that Hutterite system didn't save me. Mm-hmm. But they're trying to go and make it work for them. It's an antichrist system. And we just happened to find it out. I was shocked when I learned that. It don't matter where you look. Every movement is mm-hmm. built on somebody's ego. Mm-hmm. That Dave Wallner, that thing that he had, it was all about himself. It was all about his ego.
That's right. That's why when you will, right now people are so deceived with their ideologies. But when down through time, looking back at the church age of Laodicea, you will see very clearly that the only man that was sent with a message and kept it to people to focus back on the Word of God was Brother Branham. It's the only one you will mm-hmm. find that had the Laodicean church age message. The message that was needed for Laodicea, for the church hour we were living in, and that was Brother Branham. Right now people are so full of themselves. People are so full of themselves that they can't see it. But when history will be written, it'll be very clear that he was the only one that was actually sent with a message. Just like John the Baptist was sent with a message to forerun Jesus Christ's first coming. That was Brother Branham's job, to forerun Jesus Christ's second coming.
Yeah, it's a vessel that God found with Brother Branham. He mm-hmm. had a very humble beginning, and mm-hmm. he had the man's best interest at heart.
He did.
He didn't look for fame or wealth or riches, and he didn't have any either. He just lived in a humble house, and he didn't fit into that modern ministry stuff. Like mm-hmm. I looked the other day, who's the richest? All these evangelists, you know, Joel Osteen and all that, and the richest was the billions. I don't know how many billions there were. The Latter-day Saints. It's mm-hmm. it's an antichrist organization. Mm-hmm. They're all rooted in that Joseph Smith guy, and he was trying to take Brother Branham's place. It's just like back in the day of Martin Luther. God chose Martin Luther to be that voice, that angel's voice. And then along comes Zwingli. Zwingli was always opposing Martin Luther. He had no respect for that angelic calling that was on Martin Luther's life.
Yeah, they were right.
He was the only one that single-handedly put the Catholic Church out of commission. And then along, the devil sent his antagonist, and this one of these, and that's what happened back there. Then if the devil wasn't enough, he had to bring in that Andreas Ehrenpreis. And then he brought in that Peter Riedemann. And then he brought in that Jakob Hood. These are all just wannabes. They're not real. And the fruit is in the proof is in the pudding. The fruit is there. Now what do you see in that other right thing? More the Dark Ages. It sounded terrorist. If you don't agree with them, I didn't agree with them. And guess what they do? They do the very same thing they did, the devil did in the Dark Ages. If you didn't toe the line, if you didn't agree with them, they put you in the outs. They don't care. They don't care how many people they hurt. They don't care what they have to do, as long as you join the club and as long as you support their program. But see, we're not doing that. We're supporting Jesus. That's what I found out down at the Reason Truth. It was all, it was started out good, and it looked good, and then I saw through the hypocrisy of it. It was all about Tim Rutherford. It was all about Reason Truth. It had nothing to do with Jesus Christ. And here I was supporting somebody that's not where Jesus Christ was not the hell, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? And the Lord got me out of there just in time, too. I wasn't going to support no group that it's all about themselves. Mm-hmm. The same with that Dave Wallner. I was with Dave Wallner for a while, and then I began to see the correction. I began to see at the end of the day, it's all about him. You know, it's he had good intentions and all that, but at the end of the day, you gotta, when you're done with everything is done, it still has to be all about Jesus.
It has to.
If it's all about yourself, then it's going to sink to high heaven. Just like that guy who stepped in here the other day. He stepped in, he brought, left some literature here about this Seventh-day Adventist. And that stinks to high heaven because mm-hmm. it's all man-made. It's Antichrist.
It is.
That's simple. Nothing about Jesus. Mm-hmm. We're doing it about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Without Jesus, you're nothing.
See, that was wrong with Tim Rutherford. He was so partial. See, that's the human nature. You can see the carnal man, you know, this partiality and everything. But if your focus is on the Lord Jesus Christ, then that's who you will follow, not some man, you know, if a person, just because you have personal feelings towards a person, you know, that all has to go. When you walk with Jesus, those personal feelings have to go if you want to follow Jesus, because in the end, Satan will use that to cast a snare and you're going to fall. And that's exactly what happened with Tim Rutherford. He has personal feelings towards Russell Davis. And Ellen, he was quick to judge, but which was all good and well, because Ellen was teaching wrong. He was that Antichrist spirit got a hold of Ellen and started teaching wrong. We're in the third day. That's a false teaching. But when it came to Davis, those personal feelings that he had towards David, the devil used it, set a trap for him, and in the end he lost it all. And now he can preach all he wants. That doesn't mean nothing. When it came to the test, he failed. He sided with Russell David instead of standing for the truth. Standing up for truth, he would rather side with Russell David's teaching that we're after 2 days instead of standing for the truth.
Yeah, well, we got to be focused. We don't want to fall into their trap. Mm-hmm. You may wonder why I choose to live this way. You may wonder how I make it through the day. Well, I found the answer when I fell down on my knees. Now I'd rather live for him more than anything. Oh, I would rather live for him more than anything I know. More than houses and land, a riches untold. Than to live in this world and lose my soul. I tell you, my friend, I would rather live for him more than anything I know. All these earthly things, they will ruin and decay. But it don't matter, I don't need them anyway. For my treasure is over somewhere on the blue. I've given him my everything, now it's all up to you. Oh, I would rather live for him more than anything I know. More than houses and land, or riches untold, than to live in this world and lose my soul. I tell you, my friend, I would rather live for him more than anything I know. All these earthly things, they will ruin and decay. But it don't matter, I don't need them anyway. For my treasure is over somewhere on the blue. I've given him my everything, now it's all up to you. Oh, I would rather live for him more than anything I know. More than houses and land, for riches untold. Than to live in this world and lose my soul. I tell you, my friend, I would rather live for him more than anything I know. But the truth is marching on. We just have one commission to move on with it. Not to get caught up in your own ego. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trembling out the vantage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He had a loosest faithful of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. He has sounded forth the trump that will never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of all before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on.
Where's that scripture? When we've done everything we know to do, we should still classify ourselves as unworthy servants. Luke 17:10. I'd like to kind of get to the text of it. I'm trying to get a thought out here today. We're just doing a job, eh? We're just doing our job that God has assigned to us. But we didn't come up with this plan. We just, behind it, it was all orchestrated by God. It took pretty much all my lifetime. One of the first things the Lord let me know before I even began this journey, I can only reward you for what I have allowed the Lord to do through me. You can't get a big head. You can't think you've accomplished something if you use that as your radar. There's nothing you can do on your own, because you can go out and do your own thing. Like, we know a lot of people that do their own thing, like that Joe from Montana, he did his own thing, and that Dave Waller did his own thing, and started up his radio ministry. Good intentions, but it's all his own thing. He was just copying Oral Roberts and them guys, and just another one of these antichrists. And he's got nothing to show for himself, because God's not going to reward him for doing his own thing. And so we learn from these things. It's supposed to be like a mirror, and we learn, and then they fall by the wayside, and they get destroyed. When that COVID came through, he fell by the wayside. When that COVID came through, the Lord gave us a scripture, Psalm 91, before anybody even knew anybody COVID, and here to a month or two before he came, the Lord gave us Psalm 91. We didn't know why he would give us, but as time went on, it took thousands of people into destruction. When it came true, it didn't even give us a whiff. We didn't even get a whiff of it, because we were about the Lord's business. We're not interested in doing our own thing, like building up our own ego at the expense of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know? Here's something kind of the Lord been dealing with me during the night about, you know, even yesterday, that we're just doing a job that God has assigned to us. That's all we're doing. There's no glory in any of us. And there's nothing there for thinking we've accomplished anything. All we got to do is be obedient to the Lord, and He'll do the rest. Unworthy servants, would any one of you say to your slave who comes in from the field after plowing or shepherding sheep, come at once and sit down for a meal? Won't the master instead say to him, get my dinner ready, and make yourself ready to serve me while I eat and drink? Then you may eat and drink. He's got to have a servant-like attitude. He won't thank the slave because he did what he was told, what he was supposed to do. He won't thank the slave because he did what he was told. Will he? Like, it's a question. So you too, when you have done everything you were commanded to do, should say, we are slaves, undeserving of special praise. We have only done what was our duty. I'll try it in King James. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he is coming from the field, go sit down to meal? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward you shall eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? So likewise you, when you shall have done all these things which are commanded, you say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to begin with. I'm trying to get things into the right perspective here. Like, just a minute, when God uses you to do something, that doesn't make you anything special. That doesn't make you and I somebody to look up to, or somebody to worship or acknowledge. We're just doing a job, and we've been attacked from every angle simply because we're doing our job, and the devil knows that's all our interests are here in time, and to do our job, and the devil, he's trying to discourage us, he's trying to derail us, he's trying to make us think we're something special, and if they, like the devil, if he can't get you by trying to lift you up, he'll get you by trying to railroad you, you know, trying to make you relevant. Just the principle of the thing is, when you've done everything, just give God the glory and go on to the next chapter. Like, the Lord would love to use people on a daily basis more and more. But see, what they do, they get a big head, and the minute the Lord uses them to heal somebody or this, that, and the other, they get a big head, and they go like this story about this elephant and his mouse. You know, the elephant and the mouse, they walked over a bridge. And that bridge began to shake, and they get to the other side. And then the mouse said to the elephant, man, didn't we shake that bridge? Well, that's the same way people are. God uses them to do something, and all of a sudden, out comes their ego, and oh, man, look what I did. Look what I've accomplished. Same, like back in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, and God gave Nebuchadnezzar the wisdom to do what he's doing. And one day he just sat on his porch, looked up over the city. Oh, man, look. Built for myself. Oh, man, ain't that something? And the Spirit of God smote him right then and there, because he didn't give God the glory. It's all about giving the Lord Jesus Christ the glory that he so richly deserves. We wouldn't be nothing if we had to go to Calvary. We would just be a bunch of animals going out to hell and that, without Jesus doing that for us. And we owe him everything. And we're not just saying it. A lot of people, they use the scriptures, they use these songs to build up their ego. And it's kind of very, very unmannerly to use God's word to build their own ego and build up their own empire. Like, we've had people come through here, and they're barely out. They figure they follow us for a bit, and then they figure they can do a better job. See, and they think they can compete with us. And then they go out and do their own thing, and before you know it, they get some kind of disease or something. Even like that Jeremy, he was only here for 3 days, and he wanted to steal everything we have. And we taught him, we showed him where it's at, and he's barely out the door. And he says to himself, I don't need them suckers. I'm going to use this to build up my own ego. After all, I'm this very important person. And off he goes, and then a week later he comes back, and completely defeated. And that's how the natural man, you just gotta mortify and crucify that piece of garbage. The natural man will never deliver, lead you a good, never deal you a good hand. Like in playing cards, you want a good hand. The natural man will always see if he cannot make you get the big head and build up your ego. That's just the way it is.
That's right.
Heavenly Father, give you thanks for another day of life, for the many things you do for us, Lord. We just pray you're just contented to use us for your honor and for your glory, Lord, because we have nothing, and Lord, don't ever allow us to look within ourselves to see you as we're this big guy in the block, Lord. Like Saul, when he was small in his own eyes, you had favor with him, but then he got to thinking about he's a big man, Lord, and he just fell by the wayside, Lord. We take lessons from all these treacheries and all these pitfalls that people walk into, Lord. Help us to stay humble and graceful and grateful for what you've allowed us to find out in these closing days of time. The tremendous revelation that you've given us, the tremendous understanding of what happened back in 1520 when you brought Martin Luther on the scene, and all of a sudden here comes all these antichrists, all these spirits, and you've given us the understanding what happened back then. It was all leading back, peeking the people back into the dark ages. These Beta Ridamants and these Jacob Hooters, they were nothing but agents of Satan. And I never knew that until recently, and you began to open up our understanding, Lord. And we have nobody to praise but you, Lord, and give you the glory for all this understanding that you allowed us to see here in this closing day of the time. We just ask, Lord, that you help us to be faithful and true, but you will allow us to see and continue to walk humbly before you. And after everything is said and done, Lord, we just see ourselves as unworthy servants, Lord, and have only done that which we were supposed to do in the first place, Lord. We just pray you'll give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
That's a thought today, just to walk humbly before the Lord. Like you can go to biblical history and you can see how God used these people. And they came up to a crossroads. And you can go back and read in the book of Micah. You know, Micah came to a place at one time where he was so discouraged. He wanted to do something for the Lord, and he went out and said that, should I bring thousands of cattle before the Lord? What should I do to appease the Lord? And I just want to read it exactly the way it says it here. I think it's in Micah 6. Yeah, everybody has a moment, you know. You come and you discourage, and you wonder what you should do, and this way or that, and it's the same thing here with Micah. Micah was a prophet of God. He was a very godly man. And then they come to a place, where what shall I come before the Lord? He wanted to appease the Lord and bow myself before the high God. Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000 of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? And then God says, he hath showed you, O thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly before thy God. I'll do another translation here. With what should I enter the Lord's presence? See, everybody wants to enter into the Lord's presence. Some want to enter the Lord's presence by building a church. Some want to do all these things. They had good intentions. And they mean well. Like that day, Walter, I talked to him. I was with him there for a while. He meant well. He wanted to convert the Hutterites. And what should I enter the Lord's presence? With what should I bow before the sovereign God? Should I enter his presence with burnt offerings, with year-old calves? He wants to do something for the Lord. Will the Lord accept thousands of rams or 10,000 streams of olive oil? Should I give him my firstborn child as a payment for my rebellion, my offspring, my own flesh and blood for my sin? And the Lord told him, he has told you, O man, what is good, what the Lord really wants from you. He wants you to promote justice, to be faithful and to live obediently before your God. But it comes out the best in German. Womit soll ich den Herrn versehen? Mit Bicken vor den Ohren Gott? Soll ich mit Brandapfel und mit Ehrlingen, Kälberinnen versehen? Wird wohl der Herr gefallen haben an 4000 Wieden, an unzählige Ströme Ehl? Oder soll ich meinen ersten Sohn geben für meine Überträgung, für meine Leibesfrucht, für die Sünde meiner Seele? Should I go build a commune and all that stuff, that religious system out there? And then, then he says, es ist dir gesagt, O Mensch, was gut ist und was der Herr von dir fordert, nämlich Gottes Wort halten. That's all. Liebe jeden. Und demütig sein vor deinen Gott. That's where it's at. Just walk humbly before the Lord. There's nothing that none of us can produce. There's nothing that none of us can come up with. At the end of the day, we just classify ourselves as unworthy servants and have only done that which we were supposed to do in the first place. And if we have that attitude, what God's going to do, then he's going to give you a little bit more. Then he's going to see if you're going to be faithful with that little bit more. And then when you're faithful and you give God the glory, then he's going to give you more. And then more, and then more. And he'll just keep adding on as long as you can continue to realize you're just being about the Lord's business and God gets the glory and you're just classify yourself as an unworthy servant. And then, like I say, then God sees you faithful with that little thing. Then guess what? He just gives you another revelation, and then another revelation. Look what these people out there we used to go to church with, these truthers, so-called truthers, they were all looking for this thunderous sound. And they're still looking, they're out there, I heard them preach here last Sunday, they're still looking for the thunder, and here, lo and behold, the Lord gives this lowly girl from Skyview Colony, this is a revelation of the thunders, that the thunders happened back in 63. He can take any person that was falling in her own eyes or his eye. He can use you for his glory. And then, lo and behold, he comes down and he gives you the revelation of these thunders. These thunders happened back in 63 when Brother Brennan went down to Jeffersonville and preached the thunders. That's when the thunders happened. And then he gives you the revelation. He gives us the revelation of the seventh seal. That seventh seal happened on October the 15th, 2021. If we would look into ourselves, we would find some things to brag about. But we got all this from the Lord. We're not going to take the credit for it because it doesn't belong to us. If the Lord hadn't moved on you to show you, he said, Lorraine, let's go back in the and evaluate the cold case. Let's go back in the, and study that thunder thing. Which everybody's out there looking for thunders. And here, lo and behold, he takes you back and he lets you see the cold case. What's the cold case? The cold case is something that they put in reservation for now because nobody could figure it out. And here, lo and behold, he just gives you the revelation of the seal, the thunders that everybody wants to. They want to be a thunder. This one guy said, I want to be a thunder. See, it's a trap. But the Lord tests you and see if you're going to walk right into a trap and build up your rig. All of a sudden, everybody wants to be a thunder. When the thunders happened back in 1963, they're out here looking for something which they can build up their ego. That's all it is. And that's why we say we want to be walk humbly before the Lord because we want to be about the Lord's business. We don't want the Lord to put us on like he did. Brother Jack preached about that real car. That real car, it was just given an example. Like sometimes the railroad company, they got this brand new rail car, and they might just use that rail car for one load to deliver a load out to California, and then they don't want to use, they don't need that rail car anymore because they got lots of others. So what they do, they park that rail car back in the bushes somewhere, and out there, it sits there and rots. That's what the Lord does. If you think you're something special, that's what the Lord will do. He'll park you out at the bush somewhere, and then if you got an ego, he's just going to let you destroy yourself with your ego. And that's just That's why it's important, like I said. Yesterday we talked about repenting. You know, everybody got something to repent about if you really analyze yourself. And then here, now today the Lord wants us to walk humbly before Him. That everything, we're just doing a job. He just gave us that job before the foundation of the world. And all I ever prayed for, Lord, let me find my place in Christ. Let me be faithful to what You've called me to do. And that's the only prayer I had for my children. Lord, let them find their place in Christ. Whatever they had to go through to find their place, Lord, let them be faithful to what You've called them to be. And that's all my prayer. Lord, help us to be faithful and true to what You've called us to be. Because within there, that's where the satisfaction is. If you can be about the Lord's business and know and do what the Lord has called you to do, and this, and then when you done have accomplished it, if you heal somebody from cancer, if you cast the devil out, then give God the glory for it, because it's really not you and I that done it. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that just used us to do this very specific thing. And I'm excited about what's up to the Lord, because we're just going to continue to walk humbly before the Lord, do whatever we can to exercise humility and be small in our own eyes, like the Bible says. When Saul was small in his own eyes, then God had favor with him, and he went out and he conquered him. But then all of a sudden he got big in his own eyes, and he wanted the worship of the people, and God had to discard him, because he can't use a vessel that's big in his eyes and that's important. And just same with Nebuchadnezzar. One day he decided he's going to go out there and he's going to brag about how big a city he built. And the Lord smote him, and he ended up being like an animal for 7 years, reaching out in the field. You know the story. And that's all we're doing. We, time to time, we have to remind ourselves who we really are. We ain't nothing. We never were nothing, and we never will be nothing, except for the grace and the mercy of God Almighty. Otherwise, that's why we have to say, crucify and mortify the natural man, because he is an obstacle and for the journey on and the Lord. It's just that simple.
Mm-hmm. Like David said in Psalms 119, verse 9, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? See, when you walk in this life, people have good intentions, but to stay and walk in the path of purity, you know, whenever God uses somebody, you know, in many ways, sometimes they get destroyed in it because they get a big head. Their ego gets fed, and then all of a sudden they're out working, building a tower and doing things that are outside of the will of God. It's just that's how the natural man does. You always have to make sure you walk in a path of purity. So, and he goes on, says, by living according to your word. When you live according to the word, there is no place for the natural man. There just isn't. There is no place for the natural man to be lifted up. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commandments. See, that's how you can really stay with the Lord. Seek Him with all your heart and not to stray from His commandments. I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. See, when you have the word of God, it will always rear you right. But if you go outside of that, and all of a sudden people start doing their own thing. And it says, praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes. See, following the Lord's statutes. As one rejoices in great riches, I rejoice in following your statutes. As one rejoices in great riches, I meditate on your precepts. When you meditate on the things of God, those natural tendencies with the natural flesh, the things, they automatically will have secondary when you follow, when you meditate on His precepts and consider His ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. And that's what a lot of people do. Like you were mentioning, Dave Waldner. It became about Dave Waldner. you know, because he was trying to make this ministry work, you know. But if you follow the ways of God and meditate on his precepts and things like that, then there is no room for that natural man, you know, and in your life it will not have predominance, you know. When you walk in, like it says, walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, those are flesh things, you know, when you want to make it, build an ego for yourself. But if you follow his word and God uses you, you know, still the most important thing is for you to stay and have his word hidden in your heart, the devil cannot use these things to lift you up. You know, like you, the natural tendency, man wants to be lifted up. And that's one thing a person really has to, overcome and conquer, is not wanting that praise and that worship, that praise and worship goes to Jesus.
Amen to that. I went down to South Dakota here some time back, and I went to see the old comrade of mine that I used to know back. He had just come off the colony, and I met him down at that, actually down at that Dave Wallner's place, and we were on the same page. You could tell he was, he had zeal for the Lord, you know. Mm-hmm. He had a born again experience of some kind, and then I stayed in contact with him, and then one day I was driving down to convention by myself, so I stopped in, and I asked him to come along with me down to Faith Assembly for a convention for two, three days. And I couldn't, because there's more than he had, and I know he didn't have that more. And I know he wanted that more, but I couldn't get him to come along. I says, I'll come along with me for 2-3 days, and I'll pay for everything. You don't have to worry about nothing. Be at my expense. All you gotta do is get a little bit, get a few clothes together, and we'll go now, and I'll show you what the next stage is. And I couldn't get him along, and I didn't contact him after that, because if it's not nothing spiritually, the things that I was into, there was really no point in touching base with him anymore. That was, oh man, that was 20 years ago when I. Back in 1997 or somewhere back in there, and then here last month or so we stopped in there to see him, and he built himself a great empire down there. But when I was there, all he had was one house, and he had three young boys, and his business was shingling roofs. You know, that's how we started out, with shingling roofs. And then as time went on, he began to expand, and he started up a shop, and then he started making that steel that he put on roofs, and all of a sudden he got this great big empire there. And oh man, he's got a big rental system in town there, and then out on the farm he's got these big buildings. Oh man, what an empire. 2-3 mansions that he lives in. Not a pond, not a pool out there. He built himself a pond. Everything that their hearts can desire, just like Solomon. He built everything for his heart's desire. Everything his heart wanted, he put it out there. There it was, all complete. Oh, man, he reached a tremendous height in the line of natural things, you know. That was his ambition. See, and we were at the same page back then, and I decided back right back then and there, I want to be about the Lord's business. I don't want to go and build myself an empire. And now he's got nothing. He's up and he's old. He looks like an old man already, all wore out from trying to build this big empire. And he's got no assurance that he built this nice building, just about had it done. Along come a tornado and destroyed that whole thing. That's what happens when you build things on this earth, and you're not concerned about the things of heaven. The Bible says,
Als du geht es alle denen, die sich schätzen zusammen dabei und sind nicht reinhinger. That's what happens to everybody that builds on this world thing, but they're not rich in the Lord. Mm-hmm. And all I did was trying to direct them towards the heavenly, and now he's doing what everybody else does. Once they come up to a certain thing, they really feel the need to do something for the Lord. They need to bring him 10,000 head of cattle and things like that. So what did they do? They go out there and then they build a church. That's what he's about now. He's building a church and he's got one of his sons to do the preaching. And he says, where do you fit in? Well, I'm more or less just kind of the shepherd over this whole thing.
The pillar.
The pillar, you know. It's all ego. Tremendous big ego. And at the end of the day, he has nothing. And he asked us, I think she, his wife, asked us, if we think they got the right faith, I says, no, you got the wrong faith. It's not about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about yourself. You can't have the right faith if it's all about yourself. And that's all we're trying to implement here. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no room here for no ego or for somebody that wants to come through and do something at our expenses or try to copy us. It's not going to go anywhere. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And you have to put an effort in to walk humbly before the Lord God. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, that's the only thing that really matters. Walk humbly before the Lord and you give him the credit and the glory. And when you're done, all you've got to do is classify yourself as an unworthy servant and have only done that which you were supposed to do in the first place. That's why I said, Lord, let me find my place in Christ, because that before the foundation of the world, God had a place for each and everybody. If I can only tap in and find out what the Lord wants for us, and that's what we're doing here. We're putting out these truths here. We're exposing the unfruitful works of darkness. We're exposing these antichrists that's out there rampant, running the show. Mm-hmm. It's all about these antichrists. And then he takes us back and he lets us, gives us a scripture that's hidden away before he went to Calvary. This will be eternal life. Anything outside of that chapter, anything outside of these angels, mm-hmm. it's going to lead you to hell, and that because Satan is going to infiltrate it. That's why we have only one thing. We got to make sure that when we talk, we identify ourselves and connect ourselves with these seven stars that Jesus held in his right hand. And here we are in the church in the Laodicea, and that angel took the vote towards the brother Branham, to deliver a message to the people and the church age of leadership. That's our anchor. That's where we keep going back to, because there's nothing else. Anything outside of that, Satan will infiltrate it and it'll take you out to hell, and that's just that simple.
That's right. Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you and we give you thanks, Lord, for your word, Lord, that you have given us your word, that we can meditate on these things, on your precepts, on your commandments, Lord, so that we can walk humbly before you, Lord, so that that natural man does not have predominance, Lord, that we can walk humbly before you, Lord, and we just want to lay out a picture for people, Lord, how they can receive your blessings, Lord, because there's only one thing, as Solomon wrote in the end of his journey, is that it's the just duty of man to give you the glory, Lord, and to walk before you. We just want to lay that out to people, that they can have that blessing. But there is that place of humility that you love, that people walk in it, so that they can really walk in your ways, Lord. We just give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.